Chapter 29.
Zaphod, wake up! Hey, come on, wake up!
Just let me stick to what I'm good at, yeah? Muttered Zaphod and rolled away from the voice back to sleep.
Don't want to kick you, said Ford.
Would it give you a lot of pleasure?
Said Zaphod blearily.
No. Nor me, so what's the point? Stop bugging me.
Zaphod curled himself up. You got a double dose of the gas, said Trillian, looking down at him. Two windpipes.
And stop talking, said Zaphod. It's hard enough trying to sleep anyway. What's the matter with the ground? It's all cool and hard.
It's gold, said Ford. With an amazingly balletic movement, Zaphod was standing and scanning the horizon, because that was how far the gold ground stretched in every direction, perfectly smooth and solid. It gleamed like... It's impossible to say what it gleamed like, because nothing in the universe gleams in quite the same way that a planet made of solid gold does.
"Who put all that there?"
yelped Zaphod, goggle-eyed. "Don't get excited," said Ford. "It's only a catalogue."
"A who?"
"A catalogue," said Trillian, "an illusion."
"How can you say that?"
cried Zaphod, falling to his hands and knees and staring at the ground. He poked it and prodded it. It was very heavy and very slightly soft. He could mark it with his fingernail. It was very yellow and very shiny, and when he breathed on it, his breath evaporated off it in that very peculiar and special way that breath evaporates off solid gold. "Trillian and I came around a while ago," said Ford. "We shouted and yelled till somebody came, and then carried on shouting and yelling till they got fed up and put us in their planet catalogue to keep us busy till they were ready to deal with us. This is all sensor tape." Zaphod stared at him bitterly.
"Ah, shit," he said. "You wake me up from my own perfectly good dream to show me somebody else's?"
He sat down in a huff.
"What's that series of valleys over there?" he said.
"Hallmark," said Ford. "We had a look." "We didn't wake you up earlier," said Trillian. "The last planet was knee-deep in fish."
"Fish?"
"Well, some people like the oddest things."
"And before that," said Ford, "we had platinum. Bit dull. We thought you'd like to see this one, though."
Seas of light glared at them in one solid blaze wherever they looked. "Very pretty," said Zaphod petulantly. In the sky, a huge green catalogue number appeared. It flickered and changed, and when they looked around again, so had the land. As with one voice, they all went, "Yuck!" The sea was purple. The beach they were on was composed of tiny yellow and green pebbles, presumably terribly precious stones. The mountains in the distance seemed soft and undulating with red peaks. Nearby stood a solid silver beach table with a frilly mauve parasol and silver tassels. In the sky, a huge sign appeared, replacing the catalogue number. It said, "Whatever your tastes, Magrathea can cater for you. We are not proud." And 500 entirely naked women dropped out of the sky on parachutes. In a moment, the scene vanished and left them in a springtime meadow full of cows.
"Ah," said Zaphod, "my brains."
"You want to talk about it?" said Ford.
"Yeah, okay," said Zaphod,
and all three sat down and ignored the scenes that came and went around them.
"I figure this," said Zaphod, "whatever happened to my mind, I did it, and I did it in such a way that it wouldn't be detected by the government screening tests. And I wasn't to know anything about it myself. Pretty crazy, right?"
The other two nodded in agreement.
"So I reckon, what's so secret that I can't let anybody know I know it? Not the galactic government, not even myself. And the answer is, I don't know, obviously. But I put a few things together and I can begin to guess. When did I decide to run for president? Shortly after the death of President Eudon Vranckx. You remember Eudon, Ford?"
"Yeah," said Ford. "He was that guy we met when we were kids, the Arcturian captain. He was a gas. He gave us conkers when you bust your way into his mega freighter. Said you were the most amazing kid he'd ever met."
"What's all this?" said Trillian.
"Ah, ancient history," said Ford. "When we were kids together on Betelgeuse. The Arcturian mega freighters used to carry most of the bulky trade between the galactic center and the outlying regions. The Betelgeuse trading scouts used to find the markets, and the Arcturians would supply them. There was a lot of trouble with space pirates before they were wiped out in the Dordelis Wars, and the mega freighters had to be equipped with the most fantastic defense shields known to galactic science, They were real brutes of ships, and huge. In orbit around a planet, they would eclipse the sun. And one day, young Zaphod here decides to raid one, on a trijet scooter designed for stratosphere work. A mere kid. I mean, forget it, it was crazier than a mad monkey. I went along for the ride because I'd got some very safe money on him not doing it, and I didn't want him to come back with fake evidence. So what happens? We get in his trijet, which he had souped up into something totally other, cross 3 parsecs in a matter of weeks, bust our way into a mega freighter I still don't know how, marched onto the bridge waving toy pistols and demanding conkers. A wilder thing I have not known, lost me a year's pocket money. For what? Conkers. The captain was this really amazing guy, Yudin Vranks, said Zaphod. He gave us food, booze, stuff from really weird parts of the galaxy, lots of conkers, of course. And we had just the most incredible time. Then he teleported us back into the maximum security wing of Betelgeuse State Prison. He was a cool guy. He went on to become president of the galaxy. Zaphod paused. The scene around them was currently plunged into gloom. Dark mists swirled around them, and elephantine shapes lurked indistinctly in the shadows. The air was occasionally rent with the sounds of illusory beings murdering other illusory beings. Presumably enough people must have liked this sort of thing to make it a paying proposition.
Ford, said Zaphod quietly.
Yeah?
Just before Yudin died, he came to see me.
What? You never told me.
No.
What did he say? What did he come to see you about?
He told me about the Heart of Gold. It was his idea that I should steal it.
His idea?
Yeah, said Zaphod. And the only possible way of stealing it was to be at the launching ceremony.
Ford gaped at him in astonishment for a moment, and then roared with laughter.
Are you telling me, he said, that you set yourself up to become president of the galaxy just to steal that ship?
That's it, said Zaphod, with the sort of huge grin that would get most people locked away in a room with soft walls.
But why, said Ford, what's so important about having it?
I don't know, said Zaphod. I think if I'd consciously known what was so important about it, and what I would need it for, it would have shown up in the brain screening tests, and I would never have passed.
I think Yudin told me a lot of things that are still locked away.
So you think you went and mucked about inside your own brain as the result of Yudin talking to you, said Ford?
He was a hell of a talker.
Yeah, but Zaphod, old mate, you want to look after yourself, you know.
Zaphod shrugged.
I mean, don't you have any inkling of the reasons for all this? Asked Ford.
Zaphod thought about this, and doubts seemed to cross his mind.
No, he said at last, I don't seem to be letting myself into any of my secrets. Still, he added on further reflection, I can understand that. I wouldn't trust myself further than I could spit a rat.
A moment later, the last planet in the catalogue vanished from beneath them, and the solid world resolved itself again. They were sitting in a plush waiting room full of glass-topped tables and design awards. A tall Magrathian man was standing in front of them.
The mice will see you now, he said.